Ringing in the new year here on Prep Sports Now, it is Tuesday, January 3rd, a big day in local high school basketball. Clark and Bishop Gorman playing in just a matter of hours. I'm Case Kiefer alongside Ray Brewer. We won't get super deep into that because that will be a distant memory by the time you listen to this, but we'll talk about it shortly. After we remind you that this is Prep Sports Now, brought to you by Wingstop, the wing experts, open at several Las Vegas locations until midnight. I wrote this in the picks this week, but you know we kind of get bogged down in holiday tournaments, which are great for the kids during break. They get a lot of games in. They get to know their team better. But it really feels like the season kind of starts now when we get into a new calendar year and you're facing off against the teams that are going to determine how far you can take it this year.
Yeah, totally agree. And that's why I've always been against having the start of league play, which they have to sandwich in. But they start league play before the Christmas holiday. And I really think that teams hit their peak over the holidays when, you know, they're off at tournaments, they're getting a lot of games in succession, they're finding out what works, they're getting a rotation set. And I feel that, you know, the teams that are competitive or who play competitive teams over the break come back and they're just a step better than everybody else.
Makes sense. One team that certainly looked a step better than everyone else, that really did well on the tournament scene, and I think some people would even argue the best team in town right now, the Clark Chargers, as we mentioned earlier, playing Gorman tonight. But have you been impressed by what Clark has done? I mean, it seems like they've even exceeded my expectations a little bit. You knew they were going to be good, but they're 12-2. I think and one of their two losses maybe stands out more than any. They hung with Chino Hills. So what have you thought about what Clark has done since we last talked?
Yeah, and I knew Clark had a lot of talented pieces, but I think the way they've built off of last year's state championship, you remember they kind of upset Desert Pines in the state championship game, even though you could debate that. But they lost their two kind of senior leaders from that team, and they return, you know, just a bunch of good, solid players. Trey Woodbury has been phenomenal, as an understatement. And they go seven or eight quality players deep, seven or eight guys who are getting those, you know, low-tier Division I offers. And they're pushing the ball up the court. They're playing great. And we'll just see how good they are today when they play Bishop Gorman. I wish, obviously, we were off yesterday or we could have broke that game down a little bit. But Clark is better than advertised. You do worry maybe that they've peaked a little too early.
Can make that argument. I mean, I think that happens any time a team looks this good. But the thing I would say that maybe would have you rail against that is they're still young. They got a lot of underclassmen on this team. And another thing, as you mentioned, they lost their two, you know, supposed best players. That was going to be tough to come back from. The thing that stood out to me is, and you mentioned Trey Woodbury, he's been good, but like you said, seven or eight guys deep, and not only deep as in they can give you minutes, they're in like seven, eight deep, and you don't know who's going to lead them in scoring on any given night. I mean, the James Bridges kids had some big games. Ian Alexander, I think, was their leading scorer in like two of the last three games, it looks like. It just seems like they're really well-rounded, have guys at every position that can go off.
And I do think that you're going to find the sunset playoffs between Centennial, who's got Troy Brown, Gorman, who's the five-time defending state champs, and Clark is going to be phenomenal. But the semifinal round, when either Gorman or Clark has to play Centennial, that is going to be, to me, the game that determines what team plays in the state championship game, because the South hosts this year. That means they get three teams, so we'll have a play-in game. So the loser of the Gorman, two of Gorman, Clark, and Centennial will go to the state tournament.
Right. Centennial looks pretty strong, as we expected to. They're 10-4. Of course, I think it was last time we talked, Clark had just beaten them, but they've probably improved even since then. Played some tournaments. Almost all their games were close, even the ones they lost to California schools, so I think there's no real cause for concern at Centennial. Gorman, though, record-wise, the worst of these teams, 7-5. I know they've probably played the toughest schedule. But, I mean, I remember some years where they were kind of the feared team going up against some of the out-of-state opponents, and they'd win most of the games. This year it's been up and down. I do think they've won a few in a row now. But they've run into some tough competition and have some losses to show for it. Do you think that's something that's going to make them better in the long run?
You know, I think Gorman initially started playing this out-of-state schedule for two reasons. One, local teams wouldn't play him, but also to get quality reps to get ready for Tuesday for league play. And I think they got that, even though they lost a lot of games. In fact, they fade in the fourth quarter frequently. I think they're better for it. And this reminds me of the days when Gorman played and they had these great games with like a Cheyenne or a Palo Verde. And, you know, it was who's going to show up that day and win, I think, is what we've got with Gorman this year. And, you know, I think on any given day they could lose to Centennial, they could lose to Clark.
Right, and that's still, we mentioned this last time, but that's still going to be a fun little league there, the Southwest. Gorman and Clark, you would think, have the 1 and 2s tied up. But beyond that, there's some competitive teams, Durango, Sierra Vista, Spring Valley's looking okay. So it should be a fun little jostling there for the 3rd and 4th spot, and you definitely do not want the 3 because then you have to play, or the 4 because then you have to play Centennial in the first round.
Yeah, and you don't want to play.
Yeah, Centennial's going to be a big favorite in that game, even if they're going to have a tough semifinal game, as we discussed. On the other side of town, the Sunrise region, Coronado struggled as we expected with their schedule. They've got a losing record, 4-7. I still think you make them the favorite, but we wanted to see, we wanted to make sure if Foothill and Canyon Springs could emerge and show that they are really going to be able to challenge them this year. And so far, so good. Canyon Springs has only lost one game. I think has looked extremely well, kind of looks like a vintage Canyon Springs team. And Foothill, just as good. They're 13-3 right now.
Yeah, Foothill, I think, won its own tournament, getting great performances from its, I guess, still younger players, Rockmore, for example. And I've always said that, I mean, Coronado lost in the state championship game last year. They're without question the runaway favorites to win the region. But do we anoint them so much to where Canyon and Foothill don't even have a chance on a neutral court is, I guess, the question we have to ask. Same theory with Coronado. They were able to play quality opponents, right? And they're going to be better for it. So even though the record's a little lopsided right now, I think that we'll start seeing this week a Coronado team that should be able to flex its muscles in the Sunrise. You remember this is the same team that had Gorman in a back-and-forth game at Gorman, overcame a huge deficit. So we know they got some pieces and they could play.
For sure, and you know, to answer your first question, I don't think you just automatically overlook Foothill and Coronado, or Foothill and Canyon Springs, excuse me. I mean, like you said, Coronado is the favorite, but I think you got to respect what these teams have done, and not only what they've done, but the stature of their programs. It's not like they're Johnny-come-latelys. I mean, they've proven time and time again that they are going to be there at the end, going to be competitive. I'd say one thing that stands out about Foothill is they're scoring a lot of points. They're beginning some up-tempo games with a lot of possessions. And I know you especially always go to the fact of a team like Canyon Springs getting up and down more and tiring out opponents. It certainly looks like Foothill's kind of taken on that style this year. Maybe they'll be more well-prepared should they encounter a team like Canyon Springs in the playoffs.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that, and I don't disagree. I think that, you know, with the guard playing athleticism at Foothill and Canyon, they'll definitely give Coronado a challenge. But now you have to look at Coronado's length and size. You know, they got the Kennedy Kohler kid, for example, 6'7". He could score from the inside and out. And Foothill and Canyon just don't have anybody who's 6'7". Advantage goes to Coronado. But the one thing I do appreciate about this season is there isn't a clear-cut winner. You know, I still think Gorman's the favorite, but it's not as significant as it's been in past years, and that's refreshing.
For sure. And on Foothill, Marvin Coleman, Mauricio Smith, Jace Rockamore, all off the good starts.
Yeah, the Coleman kid was the one who I think was MVP of the tournament.
That they won, so that's impressive. And Canyons had kind of a three-man leaders, too, with Christopher Hawkins, Joseph Halsey, and Kevin McGarty.
Yeah, the Hawkins kid is like 5'7" and awesome.
Yeah, so he scored. He's their leading scorer in their last game. So Canyon Springs awfully good. any more thoughts on these teams, or should we run down the picks, which you can also find on the High School Sports Scene blog on LasVegasSun.com?
Yeah, we should have picks every week throughout the season.
For sure. Oh, and the Wingstop Player of the Week.
Well, let's give a shout-out to him. My guy.
Yeah, Rancho, doing some good things this year. And
trying to do some good things.
Yeah, I mean, they've won some games. They haven't been a walkover. I think they're just about at 500. And one reason they've been able to do that is senior Justin Holliday put up big numbers in recent tournament they played in, the Las Vegas Prep Championship. The final game, they beat McQueen by 30, which I know you love to hear.
That's
being
great.
Anti-Reno. But Holliday really stuffed the stat sheet earlier in that tournament against Cypress from California, who they also knocked off by 6 points. I think he had like 30 points in that game, 7 rebounds, something like that. So congratulations to Justin Holliday. He's going to get a shirt, a gift card, a certificate.
And a story on Sun.com.
And a story on Sun.com, all kinds of good stuff. If you want to nominate anyone, contact us any way possible. Because we're giving these out all year.
Exactly.
All right, on
first
to the
pick. Let's go
on to the picks.
Let's go with that Rancho Valley game.
All right, Rancho Valley. We're on opposite sides.
No way, are we?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did I pick?
You picked Valley.
Yeah, yeah. I might regret that a little bit. Rancho and Valley at the beginning of the year were, you know, two teams that appeared to be fighting for the last spot in the playoffs. That's probably still the case, but Rancho, via its championship in that tournament and the play of our player of the week and Chris Jackson.
Yeah, Chris Jackson put up more than 40 in their last game for Rancho.
So Rancho, I think, is a little ahead of Valley. Valley at home, give me the upset. I take the Vikes, even though I'm probably having buyer's remorse.
Yeah, I don't know if you should be having buyer's remorse. I was kind of split on this one. I did pick it before I even knew that Justin Holliday was our player of the week. But I looked at, you know, scores from the beginning of the season. It seems like Rancho's kind of trending upwards a little bit more. Maybe they've improved a little bit more. So I'm going Rancho, but I don't think you have that much to be worried about. I think it's kind of a toss-up tomorrow night at Rancho. Next game, El Dorado at Las Vegas. There were some years where this was not only a little bit of a rivalry, but two really good teams. I think.
Wow,
Vegas,
you went 9-0 last week?
Yeah. Well, it was like a month ago now at this point. We obviously can't pick the tournaments.
Oh, my God.
Every game we disagreed on.
I think. All right.
We don't disagree on many this week, though, luckily, okay. Including this one. I've got Las Vegas. I like the Marquise Raybon, what he's done so far.
I agree. He was one of our Wingstop Player of the Weeks last week, and last season, and he's a really good scorer. He could put the ball in the bucket.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit better than El Dorado right now, so we're the same on that side. Spring Valley and Sierra Vista.
No, if Maka Ellis is the real deal, I mean –
You were sleeping on him a little bit the last podcast. I was waiting to call you out on this.
Seemed
like you're kind of wavering.
He's been, I mean, you look at the kid's numbers. He's been a beast.
So he reminded you. He made sure that.
He did.
Because I think that was one of the ones I went undefeated on. You had whoever Sierra Vista was playing, Durango or something, and I had Maka.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. God, Durango.
I don't know if it was Durango. I just
whoever it was, that's a reason why you don't play the league games before the holiday. But go ahead.
All right. Well, we've both got Sierra Vista. I really like this team. I think they just might take the three in that league. But even if they have played Durango, once they're going to play them again, it'll be interesting. I like Sierra Vista. I agree. Maka Ellis is one of the best players around. Going to Henderson. This is another game like Rancho Valley. I was really torn on. I looked at it. Flipped back and forth, Liberty at Green Valley. Their scores are really similar. I didn't know where to go with this one.
You know, I thought I was going to tease you into taking Liberty and saying Brewer gave me a game. But you didn't take the bait. You took Green Valley as well. I think Green Valley is one of the more – I think Green Valley has the potential to put it together and be a tough out at the end of the year.
Yeah, I feel like Liberty's still growing, still young. I didn't realize that Liberty would be like the favorite in this game, and I should have taken.
Well, I mean, they won the league last year, and they have Julian Strother, who is one of the good ninth graders in town. There's three really good ninth graders. Noah Tate's for Gorman. I went to high school with his dad. Not that that matters, but the kid is pretty good for a freshman.
Wow, getting old.
I know.
Just joking. All right, we've both got Green Valley, even if Brewer didn't expect it. Coronado at Basic, a pretty good chance Basic ends up being that being at least involved in the playoffs in the Southeast. I think right now they have the second best record behind Foothill. Any chance they can give Coronado a scare here?
Well, Basic is one of the few schools in town that gets a good turnout for every home game.
They got that big wolf mural.
Yeah, and
it's
a true community feel at Basic, and that place is going to be rocking, and Basic's going to hit its shots, and they got some athleticism. The Frank Harris kid who was on the football team plays. I just don't think they have enough bodies to match up with the Cougars, who, if I know Kaufman, has probably said, okay, we're hitting the reset button. This is a new season. Here we go. First chance to make a good impression.
Yeah, I'm going Coronado big here. I just don't see it. I think Coronado's way better than just about everyone in this league, including Basics. Give me the Cougars. Other side of town, similar rivalry, I guess. Palo Verde at Arborview.
You know, the book is pretty thin on both these teams. I'm taking the Panthers just because I had a hunch. Again, they're pretty even. That's why I use my anyone have a coin line that you love
so
much.
Yeah. Coins and weapons. Weapons are slowly scooting up. One of the picks this week, I didn't even have to change your wording. We already had weapons in the same slot before. So coins and weapons, that's what you're all about. I guess my coin wound up on the same side. And maybe it's because Palo Verde has a few more weapons. I remember I picked against Arborview, I think, in our last picks. I just wasn't that impressed with what they had. I know that they're still young. They have some ways to go, and they came through for me. I think you were on the other side, whatever that game was. So I'm going to keep going against Arborview this year. Palo Verde for me as well.
Did you see the first come on in the story,
uh-huh.
on the pick story? Oh, good. Ray Brewer's back from his winter break and ready to slobber all over the recruiting schools, Clark and Gorman. Listen, I don't make the rules. If the rules say you could build a powerhouse team by using whatever means necessary, then do it. Did you see Gorman got, like, the best running back in the nation to transfer in?
Jesse Granger, who's not joining us today, unfortunately. He's getting ready for that Clark Gorman game. He told me about it. Kirby something, right?
Kid from Allen, Texas. He got a Florida State offer.
Granger reports he had an offer from – he can basically pick his school.
Yeah.
He can go anywhere he wants.
Yep. Mom got a job here.
Right.
It's the way the rules are set up. I mean, I'm sure that Silverado's going to get a transfer running back in, but he won't be as good. Are you going to start evaluating which kids could play? You can't. It's the way it's set up. You can't win.
You're only going to slobber over one of them, though.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Good timing, because the next two games involve those teams. Clark at Canyon Springs. In my opinion, this could be a really good one. Not so much by score.
Yeah, I think that, to me, this is a real pivotal game. Even though it's a non-league game, right, no bearing on anything. Just go out there and get better, both teams. For me, Clark cannot have the Gorman hangover. Right?
Win or lose?
Win or lose, if you want to show you're the real deal, if you want to show that you could be the last team standing in February at the Cox Pavilion, however the hell that's going to look, you got to win this game.
I can be with you there. I think that Canyon Springs, though, might be a little bit tougher than...
That's right. It's a tough game. You're going to Northtown on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Get ready to go.
I mean, that gym's usually pretty loud, too, even if it's not maybe as packed as somewhere like Basic. But the kids play really hard, always. They're going to go after you. You're not going to get an easy game. So I agree with all you said. I think it's going to be closer. There's no way I could pick against Clark. Like I said, they have eight guys that...
Is it eight? We just gave them one more?
Well, I think we were saying seven or eight.
Okay.
Give them the benefit of the doubt and just say eight. I mean, they really have they're really deep. They have a lot of guys that can carry them. I feel like there's going to be some, like, alpha in that group that's not going to let them get hung over. And I also think that Colin Darfour is doing a really good coaching job over there.
I totally
agree. So he's going to have them motivated night after night.
Chomping at the bit.
Exactly. All right, well, that does it for Thursday night. Two more games on Friday. We're going to pick Durango at Bishop Gorman.
Kiefer, back when you were at Wichita Collegiate, or maybe earlier than that, what years were you in high school?
I graduated 2005.
Yeah.
So 01
back when
to 05.
You were at Wichita Collegiate,
uh-huh.
There was nothing better than when Owl of Rock, Midnight Owl, would take Durango into the House of Glory. Packed game, evenly matched, back and forth, excitement, old school gym, Maryland Parkway. Kiefer, I'm telling you right now, you haven't lived.
Did they ever win?
Durango?
Yeah.
They own the series.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. This was before. This is like. So Grant came, his first year was, I think, 02, CJ Washington's senior year, and they won the first state championship.
Okay.
And
that
then,
was the first one. Wow.
No. First one with Grant.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Durango got a few. Durango went on a little bit of a run. And the Durango was more in the 90s. But it's been like Cheyenne and Palo. I mean, Durango by far was not the best. I mean, Gorman by far was not the best team. Anyways, they destroy them.
Yeah, I got Gorman. I'm curious, though, from back then, because I always like to get your opinion on guys that are kind of local legends. Now, what was your opinion on C.J. Watson back then?
C.J. Watson? No, I mean, he was real good.
Okay.
He was real good.
You never are like, oh, I just love that kid, best player I've ever seen. Even
no,
though
he's
going to play in the pros.
Like Shabazz, for example, right?
Yeah, not that level.
I mean, for me, like, Shabazz was the best player I ever saw.
Yeah,
I mean,
the best
state
player I've seen, no doubt.
State championship game, the kid was like 15 of 16 for 39 points in the first half. And he did like a 360 windmill jump off a trampoline dunk that I was disgusting. I mean, to me, that was like the best player I've seen.
Yeah, I agree. Best high school player I've seen, for sure.
And to me, CJ Watson was really undersized. And and this was before like the internet really picked up. So his recruiting, like, his recruiting wasn't nearly as wild as or intense as
some
as
of these guys
Bosley
we see
was.
Now,
yeah,
or even like a Troy Brown or some of the guys from today.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting aside, we both got Gorman, and last game, finally another one we can disagree on: Chaparral at Virgin Valley. Is it possible this is like the 2 and the 3 of the lower level? I think DP's got to be 1, right?
Yeah, DP is a clear one. I thought Sunrise would be in the mix, but Sunrise just isn't that good. This is kind of it. For whatever it's worth, I hate to go back. CJ Watson was 6'1", 160, and he committed to – he picked Tennessee over Fresno State and Minnesota.
Interesting that Tennessee had – I guess Minnesota too. Huh.
So, anyways.
Interesting stuff. And now he's teammates with another – Big Zim.
Well, teammates. I don't know if they're technically teammates today, but
they have been. They're in training camp together. They've been on the roster at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, back to Chaparral and Virgin Valley.
I just think Virgin's tough to beat up there. I still think Shap – if the game's at Shap, I'm picking Shap. It's tough to take a bus up there, wait through the girls' game on a Friday night.
I got Shap. I think it's a close game, but, man, I know you're super on the Virgin Valley train this year, so I'll try to pick up one on you by going the opposite way with Chaparral. Any parting thoughts?
Coaches, reach out to us and give us that Wingstop Player of the Week. It's a good deal, $50 gift card from our friends at Wingstop, who we appreciate.
Right. Well, we didn't get to talk about Clark and Gorman today, but we will – recap it next week. We'll talk about that and all the other action from this week. This has been Prep Sports Now. Thanks for listening.